But I'm excited to continue being part of this church and being part of the internship. The last thing I want to get past is just to thank the church board here and thank the pastor, as well as other leaders, staff members, and volunteers who had a major part to play in my transformation since I got here. As of today, or actually I think in a couple days, I will be ending my internship. My next step, I am still unaware, so I'm sure you will see me around. You're welcome. But it's just exciting for me because I am moving on. I have always dreamed of going into youth ministry, and so few people can say that they've been able to do what they have dreamed about doing since they were a kid. And so I just think it's such a blessing, first, that God put that calling on my heart, and second, that through my family, friends, this church, I have always been encouraged to follow that passion. So I hope as I open up this morning with my message, you can just see the fruits of the love of this church and of the guidance of those who have surrounded me from the beginning. So today I am talking about the Great Commission, what it means to actually go forth and make disciples. And I just wanted to break down something. My challenge today is actually, how do we disciple in the real world? How do we go out into our jobs and we actually look at people and share our testimonies in a personal and intimate way that makes sense to them and brings the Spirit into their lives? There's this new age evangelism that is coming about, and it's where people think, as long as I'm a good worker, as long as I'm a nice person, I am ministering and evangelizing. But that's totally missing the mark here. Everything that has to do with evangelism is personally sharing your testimony of transformation. When we are told to go forth, we are being asked to share a testimony. We're being asked to share our transformation. And so at your jobs, whatever they may be, it certainly can be part of your ministry, but you need to have those conversations. If we are a reflection of God's love to others, then what is it that they actually see in our conversation with them? We are supposed to be reflecting God's love. We are supposed to be reflecting an understanding of that relationship. And so, again, it's just so important to mention what is happening in your life to prove that there is a relationship. Scripture talks about the fruits of the Spirit. It shows, it's a showing of your development as human beings. In Matthew 28, 19 through 20, so if any of you have Bibles or phones on your, Bibles on your phones, feel free to use them. But Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20, it reads, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the end of the age." So there's a difference between evangelism at home and just sitting comfortably. Sitting comfortably is restricting action. It's restricting your job and just saying, this works, I'm here, I'm nice. And saying, people just wonder and ask why I'm different. Now this opportunity can arise, but my personal belief is it rises because people understand you're different, because you made that clear. And so when they're like, why are you acting this way? Your response is, because there is a loving God that I am in relationship with. And so I just have a quick testimony. There was a man that I met, his name was Greg. And I met him at a restaurant, of all places. And he's just one of these personal fellows, you know, he likes to know everybody. He likes to say hi to everybody. And you could see he was making a few people uncomfortable just with being open and excited to know who they are. And then he comes up to me and he's like, hi, my name's Greg. Who are you? And I'm like, I'm Aiden. And we shook hands and talked a little bit. And he's like, what do you do for a living? I'm like, well, I don't actually make money right now. But I am the intern at Alliance Church. And he's like, oh, really? Yeah, I went to school for ministry. And as you can see, the conversation went on and on and on. And I could share my passion for youth ministry. I could share my place in God's designs. I could be brave and just have a simple conversation. Another person named John, actually, I work at Ace Hardware, and a customer comes in, his name was John, not our John. Anyway, so he's talking to me, same thing. But he comes in, and you could tell right away that he has a few different thoughts on many different things, and he likes to share them. He talks to me and asks me what I'm doing, and same thing, I am the youth intern. And it was interesting because he started questioning me on, well, have you studied other religions? Why did you choose Christianity? And he went on and on and on. But it's just amazing how such a simple conversation of saying, I attend church, I work with the youth, I'm a leader, that opens a door to have a conversation. And that is your evangelism. That is your process to say there's something more than just who I am. There's this group of people that I connect with. And so to just keep moving forward, it's just going to get a little dark right now, and that's fine. I want to share about death really quick. In World War II statistics, there's over 500,000 American soldiers who died defending our country. There was 72,468,900 counted and marked dead, not even to mention how many people were in the unnamed graves. 3% of the world lost their lives during that war. And this was horrific. This was not a pleasurable time. I see the marks of World War II in every generation and the hurt going down of watching abandonment and loss and suffering. To that point, those who are not believers experience an eternal death. So why do we not take it as serious? Why do we make evangelism so lighthearted? That's just something you can just do or not. Because there are people who will suffer an eternal death of that same abandonment, that same pain, but for their eternity. So we need to take serious that every life you come across could be the opportunity to introduce Jesus and welcome them to the family. In John 14:6, it says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So if they do not know Jesus, how can they have a relationship with God, and how can they be a part of our family? This is the truth that the scripture lays out. And so I'm asking you, as you move on today with whatever you have going on or into the week, to keep in mind that those conversations are the most important conversations to be had. Because we're not told to live a life for the here and now. We're told to live a life for the kingdom and to invite brothers and sisters in. And so that is my challenge. So going back to the Great Commission, what does it mean to go forth? Is it actually a call to leave the borders of our country and to do ministry elsewhere? And I think we all understand that the answer to that is no. In this context, in this conversation, a better way of saying go forth would just mean as you go on in life, make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So whatever your journey may look like, wherever God may lead you, whatever work he puts you in, go forth carrying the fact that you are both a disciple and a discipler. You are both learning and will be asked to teach. The disciples, for example, as they remained in Galilee for a time, they were still commanded by Jesus to proclaim the kingdom of God. It was their job to sit still in one area in Galilee and then to also share the gospel while they were there, amongst all the other duties they had. So this is just proof that you don't have to be in transition all the time to be a good evangelizer. You just need to have the heart for people. And so then what does it mean to baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? And our denomination talks about baptism being the rights of the pastor. And I fully agree with this, because you need to have that understanding of transformation to produce a transformation in others. You cannot take somebody any further than you are willing to go yourself. And so if you're committed to the faith, if you're committed to move forward, then you can put that expectation on other people because you've done it. You've done the work. But to go forth and baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. First is our attention as believers is being pointed towards the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So Ryan shared a message about what is baptism, and it means to be adopted into the family of God. It means to show ownership. And as Ryan shared, a few people got this message a little mistaken at the time, and so they were rebaptized. But the point is to always be focusing on the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus specifies, not only does he specify he is part of that Trinity, so this is, to my knowledge, the only place in Scripture that you will find the terms Father, Son, and Holy Spirit connected as one grouping. So here Jesus establishes his authority once again as saying, I am part of this group of three. I have equal authority. And he then empowers the disciples to move along, knowing that their teacher was God in it of himself. And so baptizing in the name of the Trinity, what that does is rabbis as teachers who had students, so a rabbi, they would teach, and their students then would become teachers, and then they would teach other people. But each generation would claim that I was a student of John, I was a student of Mark, whatever it may be. And so there was no higher teacher than the rabbi. And you always would say what school you were from and identify who your teacher was. But Jesus says, go forth and baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So he is saying, you are from God. This is where your authority comes from. This is the school that you're being baptized in. So Jesus sets a standard as a teacher, saying, I am your teacher. Move forward with that knowledge and bring people into the relationship with me so I can continue to be their teachers. We are given then the authority of the rabbi to teach in his name, and this is what the Spirit has been left to help us with, to guide our practices, to guide our teachings. So move forward in your evangelism knowing that God gave you the power to teach. He has given you every tool you need. You just need to use it. So some people think that when Jesus ascended, when the Spirit was left, that was it, that God's no longer active. And there are what we call dry spells, where God is just not connecting with us, or we're not connecting with God, I should say. But I think that this statement is just plain wrong. I think in those moments when you don't feel God, when you don't think that connection is strong, I think that is because God has equipped you in every possible way for your next step. So he's saying, here's the tools, use them, and watching what we're doing. So I don't want you to get lost in this, I'm incapable of being an evangelizer, because you're not. You all have a testimony to share. The next part of the verse is, teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. Jesus made his stance very clear. His evangelism held no subtlety. He didn't come to earth as man and just left it there. He defined his purpose. So the next part of evangelizing is knowing what is your purpose. How are you going to move forward with a goal in mind and make it clear to yourself? I had the opportunity to sit in on a board meeting, which, you know, actually was exciting. So I'm looking forward to being part of churches and seeing their growth like that. But something that was brought up is just the topic of what does it look like to disciple and who are we discipling? And I think committing this to our hearts is so important as believers, because even as a 13-year-old, you might have friends that you can bring to church. You might have friends you can talk to and share your story. If you're 80, 90 plus, whatever, you have more experience than mostly anybody else. So share that transformation. The whole purpose of living is to have stories to share. And so don't be scared to be active in your faith. Do not let your faith be passive. Make sure to know what your gifts are and use them. In Revelation 3:16, it says this, "So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth." Now, the conversation happening in Revelations right now is that there's a town located in the center of an area where there's hot springs in one end, in another area, and cold springs in another area. And they would meet in the middle of this town. And so there's value in the water of the hot springs. There's value in the water of these cold ice springs. And everybody knew this. But when it met in the middle, it wasn't good for anything. And it was disgusting to drink. And so what's happening in this verse that I just shared is God speaking, saying, "I will spit you out of my mouth because you did not recognize you had value and you did not recognize you had skills to use. Therefore, you are flavorless, tasteless, purposeless by your own definition." So God equips us, but we still have to know what tools we have and how to use them. And finally it says, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." This is a promise of Christ's relationship and interaction with us. I think all of Scripture continually affirms that God is going to be in relationship with mankind and that he's always going to be present in our lives, whether it be by the Spirit, the Father, or the Son. All aspects of the Trinity are going to be present. And Jesus is just affirming this, saying, "I will be with you." And so we need to take the Great Commission as a passing of the torch. Verse 18, right before the passages I shared or started with where you find the Great Commission, says this, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." And this is Christ speaking, saying, "I have all authority over all things." And we need to understand he has commissioned us with that authority. That carries a weight. That carries a responsibility. We talk about being bought from sin, which means we are owned by God. So how are we going to serve the good master is the question. How are we equipped to bring other people into relationship and to show them our worth? And so the deed of spreading the gospel is put into the believer's hands at this point. It is our job to be disciples ourselves and to share the gospel to others so they may be brought in that family. I can't stress that enough. It kills me every day to think that there are human beings who will never experience a relationship with God, who will have an eternity of that suffering. And I don't want to be a fire and brimstone preacher because that's not my goal. But my goal is to realize there is an importance of relationship. And more than anything else, we have to constantly stress that and be obedient to that. And it is the job of the church to teach us and equip us to understand how we can take all of this that we learn and hear and move it somewhere else. I believe it was Chris Secor who shared this image, but it's like a team huddle. As soon as you're brought together, you know your goal and it's clear. Everybody knows what their part is to play. But huddles aren't meant to last forever. You need to branch out and do something. So move forward knowing that this Sunday is not your only interaction with God. That this should be the start of that interaction for your entire week, months, years, to share your testimony and to be equipped and confident that not you yourself are skilled, but that God is here to give you those skills. And that's what I wanted to share today. I'm going to end with a quick prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much again for this opportunity to come before the congregation I love, to come before family, friends, and even some strangers who you have given me the opportunity to share with. And I pray that as I share that, it doesn't just stop here, that as Ryan shares and as other leaders interact with this group, it does not stop. God, I pray that we be a congregation who's empowered and a congregation in motion, always knowing that you called us to go, and wherever we go, we bring you with us. In your name, amen.